Now, Lord, we give you thanks for your word. We thank you that your word is indeed a rainbow that chases through our pain, through our anxiety and concerns. And we pray that through your word, we might find the hope that you want each of us to have in our lives through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Israel remembered their past. They remembered the Exodus and God's mighty act to bring them out of slavery in Egypt, eventually leading them to their settlement in God's land of promise, the land of milk and honey. But now their situation was desperate, as reflected in the 1978 song by the Rivers of Babylon, sung by Boney M, which reflects on Psalm 137. You know how it goes. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down and wept. I can't do rap, and I will stop at that point. But it goes on. When we remembered Zion, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, yeah, we wept when we remembered Zion. When the wicked carried us away into captivity, required from us a song. Now how shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? Let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart be acceptable in thy sight here tonight. Let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight here tonight. By the rivers of Babylon, dark tears of Babylon, there we sat down. You've got to sing a song. Yeah, we wept. Sing a song of love when we remembered Zion. Yeah, yeah, yeah. By the rivers of Babylon, rough bits of Babylon, there we sat down. You hear the people cry. Yeah, we wept. They need their God. When we remembered Zion, oh, have the power. But now to the people who were in that situation, who couldn't sing, so they'd hung their harps up on the tree, where they cried, where they felt so oppressed, where they felt bitter and angry, as reflected in the last verse of Psalm 137, which often we're tempted to leave out. But now God offers a message of hope through his prophet Isaiah. I'm going to do a new thing. We all have the tendency to look back on rosier, better times in our lives, especially as we grow older and are no longer fit enough to do what we want found so easy, be it gardening, house repairs, running for a bus or a train, or just trying to remember something, or the right word to be found. Looking back to my childhood, the summers were always long and hot and sunny, and in the winter there was always snow. We could always go snowballing, we could always go tobogganing, building a snowman. But you know, I reckon that I don't think the weather was any different in my childhood to what it is now. It's the trouble, of course, in looking back to the past through rose-coloured spectacles. It always seems better than it was. And certainly better than the present. It's a shame in the church, too. Looking back to the good old days. When I first went to Highfield Baptist Church in Rushden, they kept on telling me about Alan Braybrooks. It was as if the next two ministers really hadn't existed, because it was always Alan Braybrooks who was the first minister, and he was the one who did great things for the church. At Park Road in Rushden, they kept on talking, as the evening service gradually dwindled, they kept on talking about 400 people in the evening service in the 1950s. mostly young people. But then when I was talking to one of my older members about this, he said, yeah, well, of course it was. It was the only social meeting place, the only place where we could go and meet the girls. Jesus tells his disciples that Mary's act of love and sacrifice will never be forgotten. Whenever the gospel is proclaimed, he said it will be remembered, and of course it's true, because we've shared it in the reading today. In the passage we read from Isaiah 43, Israel in exile in Babylon looked back to the good old days of escape from Pharaoh in Egypt 700 years earlier, crossing the sea on dry land and the destruction of the Egyptian army that was pursuing them. But God is the God of the present. Of course, looking back is part of our faith. For Israel, they look back. It was the Passover and the Exodus from Egypt. And for the Church of Jesus Christ, it's the cross and resurrection that we celebrate in baptism and Eucharist. Or for us as individuals, we might look back to special experiences of God in our own lives. Baptism, conversion, maybe a point of encounter or direction, a healing, a vision, or whatever. But of course, there can be problems in looking back. If we're anchored in the past, we miss the present, and we've got no hope for the future. If we'd been in Northern Ireland last month, we'd have seen the St. Patrick's Day marches. And in the summer, we would find ourselves in the middle of the Orange marches, the glorious 12th, the 12th of July, celebrating the Battle of the Boyne in 1690, dates from the 17th century, wall paintings. If you go around Belfast, you'll see them, of William of Orange, who defeated the Catholic James II. I can tell you, having been there, it's frightening. People are all so passionate, and you really feel that you daren't say anything against what you were seeing. Israel was feeling sorry for themselves. The people had spent 40 years in exile in Babylon, living in mud brick houses in the swamplands of the Tigris and Euphrates, eking out a pretty poor existence, mainly as slave farm workers. They looked back longingly to the glories of Israel. They looked back to God moving in power to rescue them from a similar slavery in Egypt. But they had no hope that God was going to do it again. No sense of God in the presence, no hope of God for their future. So looking back simply made them feel more miserable. Their present state compared so unfavorably with their past. Of course, their present difficulties were the result of failing to remember God when they were in Israel, the land of God's promise. They'd relied on wealth, they'd relied on politics, they'd relied on military alliances instead of on God, and they had landed up in the swamplands. But now they restricted God. God could only act in certain ways. They confined God to the land of Israel, and they were in Babylon. They confined God to the temple in Jerusalem, which was now destroyed and in ruins. And they confined God to a set of formal activities in worship, much as the church often does today, buildings and liturgy. And so God has to remind them through his prophets Ezekiel and Isaiah that he's not restricted to places or to forms of worship. He is with them in exile. God says, here's today's lesson. I'm the God of the Passover. I'm the God of the Exodus. I'm the God of rescue. I'm the God of promise. I'm the God of new life. And I'm going to do something new, and you're going to see it happen now. I think these are words that we need to hear, particularly as we look at the world around us. And maybe too for the church, that as good as our fellowship is today, there will be future days. There'll be new stories, there'll be new people, there'll be different gifts, there'll be new ways of worship, there'll be new visions, there'll be different experiences to share. But this is what we believe is God's will and God's purpose for his people. And God will say to us, forget the former things. Don't dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? God is the God of the present and the God of the future. Of course, all this doesn't mean that we shouldn't look back. There is a right way of looking back, to draw strength and hope from God's past actions. Israel looked back to the Exodus. They celebrated the Passover with lamb and bitter herbs, unleavened bread and wine. They entered into the experience of Israel of old and participated, believing themselves to be the chosen, rescued people of Israel. They shared the same covenant as they recited the story. Jesus celebrated that same Passover the night before his crucifixion, and he gave it new meaning. And it's become for us a celebration of his death and resurrection. And so we do the same as the people of Israel did with the Passover. We eat the bread, we drink the wine, we participate in the death and resurrection. We share the life of the new covenant. We become the people of God in Christ. And Jesus calls us to celebrate, to remember, to participate in that new life of his. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes, says the Apostle Paul. Well, we look back to this church's past and to our Christian experiences, to our collective church experiences. We celebrate. We give thanks to God for our church fellowship with its focus on scripture and prayer. And particularly, I think, in this fellowship, our openness and our love towards others. Of course, we might look back and feel ashamed and sorry for past failures. We might look at the current state of our lives and be disappointed. But God always encounters us with words of hope, the promise of forgiveness, the possibility of transformed and renewed lives. Forget the former things. Don't dwell on the past. Look, I'm doing a new thing. Your rescuer, the God of the Exodus, but now a new exodus through the desert, providing water in the wilderness for my chosen people. You're still my chosen people, and I will act again, and I will act here. Forgiveness is always there. New life is always there as a possibility. So what do we learn? God goes ahead of us into the future. Well, God did bring his people back, of course. We can read the story in Haggai and Zechariah, in Ezra and Nehemiah. The people returned to their land. The city of Jerusalem was rebuilt. A new temple was constructed and worship began again. Mind you, on plain sailing, there was opposition from within. There were battles to be fought with other nations. The same problems grew up. Jealousy, materialism, a lack of sacrifice and commitment, and a compromise with other religions. The same dangers for us too, for we are part of fallen humanity. But God's word through his prophet is clear. Isaiah proclaims that God, who created, redeemed, and called, is with us. With us through deep waters, with us through blazing fire. And not if we go, but when. This will happen. It's been my experience to know God's presence in the good times and the not so good times. These verses were very important to me as I faced the change and uncertainty of going to college to train back in 1978, which of course was when Boney M. sang his song, By the Waters of Babylon. It is sometimes difficult to sing the Lord's song in a strange land. As it is today, it's difficult to sing the Lord's song in a strange situation that faces the world. So where and to what is God calling us today? It is not a matter of praying that God's going to bless what we've decided that we're going to do. It's rather praying that we might be doing what God chooses to bless. It's the recognition that God has gone ahead of us in his mission, and we are called to join in Christ's redemptive mission to the world. And he'll meet us as we go out, and as we join him in his mission. So how are we going to find God's will for his church? By listening to God's word, making space to listen to God in prayer. Listening to our community. What are the people around us saying? Listening to the world. What messages are coming to us from the world? What questions are there? How can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? Finding what we believe to be God's priorities. Testing out our feelings and our ideas with others in prayer. And committing our time and our energy to this. During lockdown, I spent a couple of years writing a book about my own experience of God's grace through my life and through my ministry. As I have reflected, I recognize significant times when God encountered me and graciously prepared me and challenged me for the future. I know that some of you have probably already read this. It's in the book that I wrote. And I find that very helpful for me to go back to that and to see how I was challenged, how God directed me, but more so to know God's presence in what were sometimes very difficult times. I believe God's message for us, as we are faced with various concerns in our lives, at work, in the world, and within our fellowship, is here in Isaiah 43. Look back, by all means. Recognize that the God of the Exodus, the God of the cross and resurrection, the God of this church's history and our experience, is the God who goes with us, with each of us, into his future. And as Isaiah begins that chapter, this is what God says to us today. He who created you, he who formed you, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. And when you walk through the fire, you will not be burnt. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Saviour. Since you are precious and honored in my sight, and because I love you, I will give people in exchange for you, nations in exchange for your life. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. Amen.